Let's just ask God to bless us in the Word tonight, shall we? Father, as we go to Scripture tonight, we pray that you would open our ears, that you would open our minds, that you would open our hearts, that we not only hear, that we also understand, and that we then confess and believe what we hear in your Word tonight. We pray that you would challenge each one of us in our own responsibilities, and they help us to see the importance, first of all, of listening to you, then of sharing that gospel with others. So pour your blessing upon us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to ask your attention tonight to 1 Samuel 3. 1 Samuel 3. As Mr. Klassen said, it's a very familiar story for children. It's the story of the boy Samuel in the temple and the call of God on his life. And I have to just think about that as we go through the lesson tonight as we think about Scripture. Hear then the word of the Lord from 1 Samuel 3. Now the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes was becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." And so he went and he lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and he stood there, and he called out at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everybody who hear it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything that I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Now Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him, and he said, "Samuel, my son." And Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, and be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." Now the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear to him at Shiloh. And there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So far, God's word. People of God, there was an old cell phone ad on many years ago, and it was a person walking around with his cell phone saying, "Can you hear me now?" And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you had one of those cell phones. I did. I had one, and it worked really well when I was very near people. But when we were at our cottage, I kept saying that all the time. "Can you hear me now?" I'd finally end up go stand on the end of my dock about 20 feet out over the water, and I could say, "Can you hear me now?" And they could hear me. I'd talk in the house, they couldn't hear me, so I'd run to the middle of the road, and I'd say, "Can you hear me now?" I thought of that again the other day when I saw a new ad for a new phone, and it's a lady that's standing on an extension ladder up in the attic. You've probably seen it. And she's talking and trying to make a decision on buying a new phone. And she says, "Do you have to climb in the attic to talk on him?" And he said, "Is that where?" No, that's not where I am." But she's standing up there in the attic. "Can you hear me now?" And it's really a question. Mr. Klassen brought that out very nicely to the children. I don't have you think about that. There's many times that we don't hear the call of God, right? Elijah was a man of God, and he heard the call of God in many different ways, and he ran away because God had blessed him, and there were 800 prophets of Baal that he slew, all those things that took place on Mount Carmel, and he ran to town in front of a horse all the way into town, 40 miles to town. When he gets there, the next day, he's tired and exhausted, and he gets up, and this old wicked witch, the king, says, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be a dead man. And he's scared. Now, this God, who can make rain come out of nothing, who can strengthen a man that he can outrun a horse for 40 miles, this God is in charge. But he forgets that, and he runs for his life. As Elijah's running away, he falls asleep under a broom tree on the way, and it's one of those big bushy trees in the Israelite country. And while he's sleeping, and he wakes up and he prays, Lord, just let me die, because I'm the only one left that really want to serve you. And sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We look around our world, we hear what's happening in New York State with the right to life thing, that you can kill a baby even up to the very day before it's born, and it's considered an abortion. It's horrible. We live in a terribly sinful world. Maybe we feel like that. Lord, we're the only ones really left that confess your name. And I just want to die. And so God said, no, he's not going to die. I've got a lot of work for you to do yet. So he continues going, and he goes to the mountain of God. And there on the mountain of God, he wants to meet God one more time. So he climbs the mountain. He's there in the cave. God puts his hand over the cave. And a terrible wind blows through the mountain, just almost hurricane-strength wind. But God wasn't in the wind. And then the earthquake shook, and it just really shook violently. And he really felt he was going to talk to God. But God wasn't in the earthquake. And then this huge forest fire swept over the entire mountain where he was, burned everything in sight. But God wasn't in the fire. And then he heard a still, small voice that said, Elijah, what are you doing here anyway? I had work for you to do. What are you doing here? There's another man that heard God's call, and God said, I want you to be a prophet. I want you to go to the enemy country. I'm going to go to the capital of the enemy. I want you to go to Iran today, and I want you to preach the gospel. I'm going to change that nation. And Jonah didn't like what he heard because he didn't want to go there. And really what he was saying is, no, God, not that place, not me, not now, not going to do that. And so he heads down to Tarshish, and he gets in a ship, and he heads out to the ocean. And as he's on the ocean, you kids know what happened. He has to be thrown overboard, and the storm stops. But he's swallowed by a whale. And after all that raging storm, he's in the belly of the whale. God finally asks again, Jonah, can you hear me now? I think of that in terms of everything that's happening in our world. Tidal waves that are washing over and washing nations of these storms that are raging, wind out west, snowstorms coming, blizzard predictions, things that happen. And God is asking, you know, through a tornado, can you hear me now? Are you listening? United States, are you paying attention? Have I got your attention yet? There's been a drought and people don't have enough to eat. Can you hear me now? But are we really listening? I'm going to have you just think about that story for a moment. Under that theme, can you hear me now? And thinking about missing the call of God. How do we miss the call of God? And then perceiving the call of God, understanding it, and then responding to the call of God. And you think of that, how do we hear the call of God? How does it really happen? And it's, how do we miss it entirely? You think, certainly we would get it, wouldn't you? We're church people. When God speaks, we would answer. We'd see it. We'd get it, right? We'd get that message loud and clear. Well, Samuel had that problem, but there's a reason for it. We read two different places in there. Incidentally, kids, do you know how old Samuel was when his mama took him to the temple? A lot of people feel he was a baby, that maybe 2 or 3 years old, because it says when he was weaned. But if you go to the second chapter, the 5th verse, she, in her prayer, because Hannah does a prayer after that, the prayer of Hannah is recorded, And in there she said, this barren woman prayed and is the mother of 7 children. And now I grieve because of my son here. So he had to be about 7 years old anyway. Think of a little boy of 7 years old dropped off by his mom at church and said, you have to stay here now. And you're going to help this old man there. He's almost blind. You've got to be kind of his hands and fingers as he does the work around the temple. There he is, a 7-year-old boy. Well, we also have heard, you know, that the people were missing it because the word of the Lord was rare and visions were very, very unusual. They didn't see those anymore, so God wasn't really revealing himself very fully to them. And then if you think about Samuel, he's there and we read, and Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. He knew him as some way like a 7-year-old boy can know God, but he didn't really know the awesomeness of God, didn't know the power of God, didn't know the love of God, didn't know the judgment of God, didn't know all those things about God. And then furthermore, it says, and the word of God was not revealed to him yet. So here's this young lad who's trying to understand, and he's missing the call of God because when God calls his name, he hears the man in the next room, the old guy he's there to help. That's my job. I have to be here when he calls in the middle of the night. Maybe he needs something. Maybe I have to help him to the restroom. Maybe we have to do something. So he runs to his side, and you know, 3 times it happens, right? And each time he has to say, but I didn't call you. And finally the old priest gets it, doesn't he? God is calling. I don't know how many times in our life we miss the call of God. He missed it because he was looking in the wrong direction. He wasn't assuming that being in the house of God and being in this as a servant of God, that he was going to hear the voice of God calling out loud. And so when he hears a voice, he runs to where he naturally would think a voice is. Now, I have a daughter that is deaf, and she wears hearing aids, Mr. Clausen, but she does it because she can't hear it all in one ear, and she only hears part in the other ear. But when she didn't have her hearing aids on, and she can't hear out of one ear, if you know that, kids, if you can't hear out of one ear, that you don't know where sound is coming from. And so when she was about 3 years old, 4 years old, and we would call here, we'd say, Sarah, come over here, and she'd look at the other side of the room and run away, and we thought she was being disobedient. We found out later she was going to where the bounce of the sound is off the wall. That's a very understandable thing, right? But maybe you and I misunderstand the call of God because we too are going to the wrong place. We're running like Samuel, running to the wrong place, going to the wrong thing, trying to understand what in the world God's doing anyway. There's a farmer that I had in one of my churches, and he said to me, he had 7 children. He had just a very successful farmer, and he said, I really was going to be a minister. And I said, why? He said, because I thought I could preach the gospel there. I said, Fritz, what are you doing here? You're teaching 7 children to be obedient to God. You're working in the church. You're doing all kinds of things. And you're one of the best, most progressive farmers in our area. So what makes you think you haven't heard the call of God? And you know, when you think about that, how many times don't we really interpret it in our own eyes? This is what I want to do. And so I'm going to say God called me to do this. Maybe you want to be a carpenter. You're a lousy man at pounding nails. My dad-in-law tells me I couldn't saw a board straight if I wanted to. I never could. I can't pound a nail straight. I'm always bending them over, part of the way that I see things. I would make a lousy carpenter. But if that's what I was going to do, if that's what I chose to do, it wouldn't be very good. But when you listen to the call of God, God puts you where he can use your talents and your abilities. So maybe we're missing the call of God because we're looking in the wrong direction. Where are you looking anyway? What are you trying to figure out when you're in college and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life? My grandchildren are in their 20s now, and they're going through that. They're in college, and they start out in one course, and they say, you may think I'm crazy, but I'm changing my courses. So not at all. What is God calling you to do? One of my grandsons, he just turned 22, he said, I'm going to be an airline pilot. He said, I always wanted to fly. And when I'm going to do that, then I'm going to get myself trained enough, and then I want to become a bush pilot, flying missionaries and missionary supplies into some foreign countries. Great, go for it. So he starts. And the first thing after a few weeks, he discovers that he can't fly. Why? Because he's colorblind. And if you're colorblind, you can't see the green light and the red light, and you don't know which way to turn, you don't know what's going on in the cockpit, you could crash your plane. Not where God wanted him to be. And after 6 months of searching, he finally had really decided, God has given me a talent in medical gifts, and I'm going to go to medical school, and I'm going to be used where God wants me to be. What an awesome thing to finally say, Lord, I'm not looking in the wrong direction anymore. I'm really praying that you'll lead me and that you'll guide me. And I really pray that you help me to use my talents where I can use them for you, where I can really be gifted in that way, where I can be a person that shares and a person that's able to use all of my talents and abilities for you. So how do we perceive the call of God? How do we understand it? Maybe it's that preparation for it, first of all, in our life, right? Maybe I have to be thinking, God, where do you really want me to be? What do you really want me to be? Where do you want us as a church to be going? That vision type of thing that we do with visioning committees. Where should we be? Not where I want us to be, not where other people want us to be, Lord, but where do you want us to be? How do you want us to serve you more fully in the city of Kalamazoo? How do you want us to be that person, that church that's out there presenting the name of Jesus Christ in a lot of different ways to different people? The awesomeness of it all is to realize that God's in charge. And so I'm thinking about it, and then maybe I'm really praying about it, and I'm really earnestly praying, and I'm praying. One of my granddaughters has changed her field of ministry 4 different times because she's not quite certain. Finally, she is certain. She's 25 years old, and I know where God wants to use me the rest of my life. It takes a little longer for some. Not a problem. You will never be happy if you choose a field where God does not want you to be. And if you choose a field where you really feel you're gifted, God will make you happy in there. So after a while, you don't even want to quit working. You just want to keep going. I get that question all the time. So when are you going to retire? I retired 11 years ago. After 3 weeks, I failed at it. You fail at retirement? Yeah, I did, because I could not stand sitting around. I feel God still had a ministry for me to do. And what I'm doing, I love, and where I'm serving, I really love what I'm up to, and I just love the way God is using me. What an awesome thing to be able to say, okay, Lord, I've prayed about it, I've studied the Word, and Lord, I want to be obedient. Where do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? As you think about those times where God wants you, think about the opportunities that can be. Maybe you and I have to think again, Lord, help me to open my eyes so that I can really understand where you want me to be. And somebody asked me, well, what does the call of God feel like anyway? I can tell you one thing. It's not you're going to feel like plaster falling off the ceiling and hitting you in the head. It doesn't happen that way. It's not going to be like a Paul's call of the gospel as he's trudging down the road, persecuting Christians with a real vigor. God says, I got a better plan for your zeal, Paul, and that's to spread the gospel that you're opposing. And he blinds him. Maybe it's a flashing light that stops him right there in the middle of the road and says, Paul, you're doing something. He hears the voice. Why are you opposing me? I need to use you. Go into the town and wait until something happens. And then a man's appointed to go heal him, right? What does he say? God, I don't want to go there. You know what kind of a violent man he is. I don't want to be there. But God wants me to be there. And so he goes and he prays over him and he opens his eyes and he becomes the greatest missionary the world has ever known. The awesomeness of what God is doing in people's lives totally amazes me. When I think of the awesome, the stories I hear about people who have spent all of my life, I've been struggling to really find where God wants me to be. And finally, I've discovered what God wants me to do. My wife had a dream. My wife's dream was this way. We'll get married. I'll support you as you go through college, and we'll have a few kids. Then I'm going to get my degree, and then I'm going to become a social worker, and I'm going to work with kids, and I'm going to be able to do that. And every time we'd get there, we'd have another challenge with another child. And after every time we moved to church, we adopted another kid. Kind of a nice way to go, right? So we had five children. My wife said, I'm going to enroll in college now, and I'm going to get my degree because the kids are starting to grow. And then I can get my degree in social work, and I can go do it. And every time she'd open a bulletin, she'd open a page, she'd see the banner, she'd see another thing. There was always a thing for foster care staring her right in the face. And one day she came to me with a sheet and said, this is where God is calling me. All I've ever wanted to be was a mom. And God's opened my heart to these kids. 12 kids later and 21 years after doing it, God had used her mightily. He used us as a family mightily in helping change the lives of kids that needed to be changed. But he does it. It's not going to be a flashing light. It's not going to be plaster from the ceiling. It's not going to be experience of crashing lights and thunderstorms and everything else. It's going to be the challenge, maybe of a still small voice. Maybe a voice that says to you right where you're at, what are you doing here? Why are you here anyway? I had a job for you to do. Why aren't you doing it? Maybe that's the challenge in your life. As you reach out, and as you go, and as you understand that more fully, as you see it, you know, think of running away from God. That's how people respond, right? If they don't want to do something, they run away, right? If your mama, to use Mr. Clausen's example, if your mama asks you to do something and you don't want to do it, you can find something else first, right? Your mom tells you, I want you to take out the garbage, but first I'm going to play ball with my friends. And then when it gets dark, then I'll take care of that. I thought you were going to mow the grass. Well, I was, but, you know, I want to see the rest of the ball game first. And then it rains. And I can't mow grass in the rain. But you could have watched the ball game in the rain. But you could have mowed your grass first. Or, I thought we were going to have supper. She said, I told you I was making something for supper. And he said, what'd you make? And she said, reservations. You know, the challenges are always there, right? How can I be used in the occupation that God has chosen me to do? And as I begin to understand more fully the call of God, I begin to listen more fully. And then how am I going to respond to the call of God? What am I going to say to God? Maybe I'm going to be a Jonah and say, uh-uh, not me, God, not there, God, not now, God. It's not my time in life to do that. Maybe I'm going to try running away and getting away from it, run the other way, and God's going to have to stop me in my tracks. Maybe it's that turnaround that God has to bring into life, and it's the challenge that's there. He was a man that I met many years ago, and he was a body shop man. He had owned his own shop fixing wrecked cars, and it was just an ace at what he did. And then her daughter had a terrible accident. And he made a bargain with God. People are good at bargaining with God in situations, right? God, if you heal my daughter, I'll become a minister. And so he tried it. He was lousy. He went back to being body work. And I said to him one day, all you have to do is do and use the gift that God gave you. Maybe it's the best body worker in the world. Maybe it's the best druggist in the world. Maybe it's the best typist in the world. Maybe it's the best whatever in the world. But if you find the task that God has chosen for you, then do it with all your heart, do it with all your zeal, do it with all your might. You think about that for a moment. How can I really be obedient to God? How can I say, God, I'll go where you want me to go, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. When our last foster child died within our home, we decided that we could no longer do children. We're getting too old for that. And so we started sponsoring children overseas. We have a little girl in Kenya that we sponsor, but long story short, her whole family has died, and she lives with a great aunt who doesn't really care for her, but she tolerates her. And part of her training, part of her education, was she was given a goat. And we got a letter from her last week. She said, "Mom and Dad, guess what? My goat had babies." And usually a goat has, "Well, my goat had three babies, and I've been triply blessed. And now I can help my auntie even more with the household because I can sell my goats and help her pay for the food." All to see God's handiwork. Who would ever think that an old goat could be used by God for the kingdom? Who would ever think that God could use you for the kingdom? Maybe there's a task that God's calling you to do. Maybe there's a place where God wants you to be. Maybe there's a talent that's still there that isn't quite out yet. He was a man that loved woodworking. And in his retirement years, he opened his wood shop and he began to build. And then he found a job working in a sheltered workshop with men that were having Alzheimer's issues. They weren't real bad yet. They had a lot of memory loss. And so he opened the wood shop and he said, "We're going to just teach you to do some things. We're going to make birdhouses." And we were building birdhouses. He came to me one day and he said, "Pastor, could you use a birdhouse or two for your trees around the parsonage?" I said, "Sure. Now, I'm not going to be home, so just drop a couple off on the porch." I got home, there were 7 birdhouses on my porch. A few extra that he had along the way. But you know, men were making birdhouses for their grandchildren. I don't care what they did with them. But the fact that Grandpa completed something and gave it to them from his heart, "This is my skill, this is my talent, this is how I can do it for you." And so you receive it with thanks. Can you hear me now? That's what God's asking, right? God didn't give you retirement to sit on your haunches or play golf 21 holes a day. He gave you retirement to use for him in some way. A lot of volunteer work around, a lot of places to go, a lot of places to be. I was just sharing with the council that in 3 weeks I'm going to Florida for 2 months. Now that sounds like a vacation, right? I'm going to be in a winter chapel and preach 14 times and lead 6 Bible studies in 7 weeks. But I'm retired and I love it and I'm going to have a lot of fun while we're down there. But see, you can find how God can use your talent and still you can enjoy your life. So I'm going to ask you again. God's asking you, can you hear me now? Are you maybe looking in the wrong direction? Are you misunderstanding because you're listening to the wrong things? Are you really thinking about God? How can I be used more fully in your service? And then how are you going to respond? Are you going to say, "Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go to that place. I don't want to be there. I don't want that person in my life." And all of a sudden, the world opens to what God wants you to do. The biggest blessings in the world come when we finally say, "Amen, God, I'm yours. Take me and use me." Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the gospel, for the challenge of the word. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we can see your handiwork in everything that we do and understand everything that you teach us and that we say, that we hear you say. And Lord, you ask us so many times, "Can you hear me?" We pray that so often we are looking in the wrong direction and we need to hear you again. We need you to speak. We need it to be clear, Lord. Sometimes you have to wake us up so that we can understand more fully what you're doing. Give us your peace now throughout our day and help us to see your goodness, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.